Eternal Word Television Studios in Birmingham, Alabama.
Of Jesus.
The most glorious work of all, to praise God in His kingdom.
Moved by the Spirit.
One who lives in love lives in God. And God lives in him.
What a wonderful thing is our church. This whole network is built on trust. The essence of evangelization is to tell everybody Jesus loves you. We are all called to be great saints. Don't miss the opportunity.
Well, we just have great family here tonight, and there's a little girl. Where is she? Where's the little girl? Come on, come over here, sweetheart. Come on. There she comes. Now, I want you to know that this little girl right here felt bad for me. Come up here, sweetheart. Come on. Now, give me a hug. There you go. Boy, oh boy. And she gave me this big mug, and it's a mustache mug. And where'd you find it? In the cupboard?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, see? Well, thank you. Mm. Thank you. Now I got a problem. I don't know which side of this thing you drink out of. There's a round side here, your mustache should go there. But if I do it this way, I'm left-handed. You know, life is full of problems. But I'm grateful. Now they don't have to fill it up. You know, my producer said maybe we ought to talk about pride, justice, charity. So I thought, well, we'll just take all three, see what happens. The word today, if you ask somebody, do you know what's wrong with you? He'd say, yeah, it's pride. But pride is a general thing, you know. Everybody's got it. It's different in everybody. If it gets really bad, you know. We all think that Lucifer fell from pride. Well, I guess he did. I think it was jealousy. See? I think Lucifer fell out of jealousy. I shall ascend to the throne of the Most High God. That's what he said. See, he had this illusion that he was better than God, forgetting he was created by God. And he could never ascend to the throne of God. And Michael comes along and he says, who is like God? Who? You see? And he fell. The angel fell. Lucifer fell. One third of all the angels fell. But you know, we're kind of repeating the same thing today. We all want to ascend to something that's not ours or doesn't belong to us. And pride manifests itself in so many ways. It's really pitiful. We are proud and don't know it. I think there's kind of holy pride, if there's such a thing, in yourself. Otherwise, you'd never take a bath. I forget how many millions of dollars, what I could do with millions of dollars, like, right? Would shock you what I could do with millions of dollars. But millions of dollars are spent every year on what? Deodorants. You thought I was going to say cigarettes. No, it's not cigarettes. In fact, I would think cigarette is a kind of deodorant. I just thought of that, you know? Don't you think it's true? If you're in a room and somebody's smoking, you don't smell anything else. I mean, it could be some pretty bad odors in there, but you don't, all you smell is smoke. And it's secondhand smoke, that's what gets you. You see, secondhand smoke. It was in somebody's dirty lungs. Isn't that a gross thought? But that happens in restaurants. They go, all this smoke goes around. And what do? You're trying to breathe, you see. And what do you breathe? Secondhand smoke. Well, now what's that got to do with pride? I don't know. I'll think of it, though. But I think it's a kind of pride because you really don't care when you smoke in public where that smoke goes. You see women holding a baby in a restaurant, eating some food and smoking, all three at the same time. It's quite a feat. I watched a woman, forgot my own lunch, trying to figure out how she was going to do it. And another lady next to her was doing all three things, except she also had one of these computers in front of it. See, it was interesting to see. I sat there absolutely astounded. Astounded at that kind of, I think we're selfish, see, selfishness. That's a form of pride. Selfishness is a form of pride. Are you selfish? Well, you say, why is selfishness a form of pride? Because we prefer ourselves to other people, see? You prefer the enjoyment of a cigarette to your neighbor. You say, well, it's my privilege. No, it's not. I think if you're going to smoke, you shouldn't smoke in public. You can share a lot of beautiful things in life. Don't share your smoke. Because it's harmful to other people. So we would say then that selfishness is a form of pride. Disobedience is a form of pride. Say, disobedience to God. To say that your free choice, there's no such thing as free choice. You'll leave this place tonight, and whether you're in a bus or a car, you're going to have to stop at a red light. You didn't say it was red. Somebody, sometime way back, said red, stop, green, go. They could have said green, stop, red, go. But they didn't. You have to obey. I mean, that would be foolishness. The first time, you know, I've been to Italy many, many times and suffered from the traffic there. And if you've never been to Italy, you don't know what real traffic is all about. But anyway, they're even putting up signs. Don't take your life or others' life in your hands. And when you do, it's selfish. But it's disobedience. I think if I were asked, what is the greatest sin in the world today, I would say disobedience. It's the same kind of thing, and disobedience comes from pride. Which means I don't care what you want me to do, I'm going to do what I want to do. And you know we do it all the time. We do it all the time. We don't mean anything by it, most people. But disobedience then is also a form of pride. I think you need, you know, I was giving a lesson to the sisters the other day, and it dawned on me, I was on retreat Saturday and Sunday, and it dawned on me that self-knowledge is really a friend. It's a friend. And I've been thinking this way for quite a while, and the other day the Lord gave me a dose, a big dose of self-knowledge. And I said to self-knowledge, ah, you're back again. Because we don't understand that to know yourself is the greatest gift God can give you. Are you going to think I'm nuts? That's okay. I value it more than an ecstasy, if I were to ever have one, or a locution, or even a vision. Why? Because if I have self-knowledge, if I know for sure, and I admit it, that I am selfish, that I have very little patience, I like everything done yesterday. And when all the community here and all the vice presidents realized I was really healed, were they happy? Yeah, kind of. What did they say, though? God help us. They're really saying it now. But you see, self-knowledge is that one thing that lets me know in what area of my life I am not like Jesus. Do you know in what area in your life you're not like Jesus? Not too many people raise their hands, see? I didn't see one in this group. Not, you see, we don't know. And we don't want anybody to tell us either. We're insulted. If somebody says, you're the most impatient individual I ever met. I am not impatient. Oh. You're also angry. You see, if I don't know, and you don't know, in what area of your life you are not like the Lord, how are you going to get better? That's what purgatory is for. I just think purgatory is a wonderful place. I don't want to go there. But I think it's a wonderful place because it gives you and me a chance to do what we didn't do here. You can't go to heaven full of pride. That's ridiculous. You can't go there and say, move over, Lord. I got a better idea. It's not going to work. And see, that's why self-knowledge is so wonderful. If you wake up in the morning and you feel very irritable, you have to know you feel irritable instead of blaming your husband, the weather, the wind, your children. You see, as long as you can put blame on someone else, you're not going to change. You know, all my life, I'm 75, and I've prayed and prayed for patience. I still have a problem with it, but I'm working on it. And sometimes I have these musings or dreams, you know, of Angelica, patient. Wow. You know. Calm, cool, and collected at all times. I'm still waiting for the day, but at least I know I'm impatient. See? So what? I have to work on it. But God honors my efforts, and He honors your efforts as long as you keep trying. That's what we don't understand. we get so disheartened and so discouraged. Now you say, well, if I don't know I'm impatient, then I'm not responsible. Oh, I can't imagine you don't have some inkling. What do you think it is when you start getting hot? On a cold day. What do you think when all that blood rushes to your face and you want to choke somebody? What do you call that? Patience? No. Gentleness? No. Meekness? No. What do you call it? Impatience. Anger. And we have to know that the great saints, Francis de Sales, for example, worked very hard all their lives. There's no saint alive, no saint dead, that didn't work hard to be like Jesus. We have to work hard at it. So, we need to understand we cannot cherish our ignorance. Why? Because God gives us light. Light. Now, you all came on a bus, right? Or a car. All of them kind of comfortable, hot. You stop at a restaurant, doesn't have a decent thing on the meal. You got to stop it. Nobody else has to stop. There's one of those things in the bus, but you can't even get to it. That's when you begin to wonder, why did I come here? I have paid to be miserable. Hungry and tired. But what you paid for was grace. But you didn't pay for it because it's free. Grace to come and visit the Lord God. So that makes all of that worth it, see? But you got to think of that. If we don't think of it, and that's where charity comes in, see? Charity is love. You know, we all would be saints if it weren't for people. That's what we think. But even the old monks in the desert in the first, second, third century, they still had a problem. Why? Because they were in the desert by themselves. Okay. You can be angry all by yourself. Did you ever be angry all by yourself? No? Yeah. There's nobody. Everybody's gone. You're all by yourself. But you're mad. Why? How can you get mad by yourself? There's nobody there. Something in here. See? Ask yourself, why am I angry? I'm angry because now I got to clean the house. And everybody else messed it up. And I do this every day. That's your sanctity. See? What we don't understand is that everything that happens to us, whether it's God's permitting will or ordaining will, I have to deal with it, don't I? I still have to deal with it. I have to deal with it on a holy level. A holy level. You can't go and buy shoes without having discomfort. They put the wrong shoe on. Now I notice they just give you the shoe and you put it on. Do they do that where you are? I never saw that. You know, I never bought shoes for 44 years. And so when I went to get shoes, I thought they'd sit down in that nice little chair and bring you a pair of shoes and take your shoe up, put that shoe on, tie it for you. They just kind of throw it on your lap. I said, what do I do with these? She said, put them on. You know, before, That used to be not only good business, but charity. Charity. It's like going through one of these, what do you call these doors that go around in a circle? Huh? Revolving doors. This is when I had braces and crutches. I was waiting for this thing to come around, and some kids were in ahead of me, saw me, and kept going faster and faster, so I couldn't get in there. I had all kind of thoughts. I was trying to figure out how, if that thing stopped just at the right place, I could give some of them a swift kick. I didn't. I said to myself, Angelica, is that the right thing to do? And myself said, yeah, it is. Is that true? And then I said to myself, that wouldn't be like Jesus. And myself said, well, I don't know, you know. He'd probably sock him. And then myself said, no, he wouldn't sock him. I said, okay, what do you want to do? I talked to myself because I get the best answers. And I said, then, if you want to be like Jesus, pray for him. Pray for him. Yeah, pray for him. What, did they break a leg? No. No. Just plain pray for their good. Well, by the time I went through that procedure, they were gone and the whole thing stopped, and I was able to go through. But sometimes you got to talk to yourself and ask yourself, what do you really want to do? And then ask yourself, is it worth it? What does it profit if I died in the next 5 minutes? If I died with anger in my heart over a revolving door? See, we never quite understand ourselves. And so charity demands that even when somebody is rude and pushes the revolving door fast so you can't get in, the demand to love them is still there. It doesn't go away. See, that's our problem. We don't see that. We're so agitated over the injustice of the thing. Now we're going to justice. Everything isn't just in this world. You can't expect it to be. There's a couple now who went to a hotel room, the girl had her baby, and they killed it. Right there. What did she get? 2 years. 2 years. So it didn't matter about this little baby. Or the dignity of human life, didn't matter at all. She gets 2 years, and I'm supposing if she's good, she'll get maybe 6 months. Because we've lost the reality of the dignity of a human being. You just wiped out an entire lifetime and other lifetimes. You know, Pilate said to Jesus, what is truth? What is truth? I think today he would have said, where is truth? Can you answer that? Can you answer where is truth? Where is truth? Spiritual truth in the church. Our Holy Father just came out with a document on defending the faith, defending truth. Then he came out with a document on keeping the Sundays, the Sabbath, holy. He called it sacred rest. Sacred rest. Well, there are a lot of people who have to work on Sundays, like nurses, doctors, pharmacists sometimes, nursing home. But that's charity. And now it's so prevalent everywhere that most shopping is done on Sunday and most work is done on Sunday. That not necessary work. So we see we're getting to a place in the world where we don't know truth anymore. And that's why I'm saying, examine yourself. Do I know the truth about myself? That's a great gift from God. To say, well, Jesus, to be humble of heart, huh? To say, Jesus, I'm trying hard and I just don't seem to make it. Please help me next time. Please help me to be good. Please help me to be loving. Please help me to be kind. Help me to be kind. We need help. And help me to know, you know, Pope John the 23rd had a little plaque on his desk. And the plaque said, know thyself. He was smart. He was smart. So you and I are obliged by this wonderful book we call the Gospel to be like Jesus. See? What Jesus says in John, the sisters and I have been on John 13 to 17 chapter for months now, but in John he says something very significant. He says here, if you keep my commandments, that's all. If you keep my commandments, the Father and I will come and dwell in you. And he says, I no longer call you servants. I call you friend. Are you a friend of Jesus? A friend of Jesus. That should be our goal. To be a friend of Jesus. To know the Master. To know what he said. To have it in my heart, in my mind. And then live it. See? That's self-knowledge. That's charity. And that's justice. I owe that to Almighty God, who created me to be with him in this life and forever in the next. I owe it to him. That's why our Lord said one time, when you have done everything you should do, say, I am an unprofitable servant. Ah, you see? You and I owe it to the Lord God to become holy. Does that mean faultless? Of course not. You can't be faultless. Only two were faultless, our sweet mother Mary and Jesus. But we need to make that constant effort. Constant effort. I want to be like Jesus. You know, people go around today, little kids with these crazy shirts on, with diabolical faces on them. They give me the shudders. See, the devil knows. He wants you to be like him. All you teenagers listening to me tonight, who do you want to be like? You only got two choices. The enemy and Jesus. If I were you, I'd choose Jesus. I would choose Jesus. Because he's the only one to be like. And then you find peace and joy and truth. We have a call. Hello?
Hi, Mother. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. And how are you?
Good, thanks. When you were talking about pride, it just struck me that I think it's kind of ironic that while so many who possess no legitimate authority pridefully aspire to it, those who do possess it refuse to use it.
Yeah.
And that I think they've kind of convinced themselves that it's a humility, but I think that it's a false humility, which is just another kind of pride.
Mm-hmm.
And when I hear the things that the Holy Father has come out with, from Veritatis Splendor to lately to Wendam Fidem, it seems like the Holy Father is begging our bishops to be bishops. And if they would be, the faithful would at least know what was legitimate.
Is that your question?
Yeah, it's just a
comment.
It seems to me like there are a lot of people out there that would love to be able to follow the truth, but because the people would, and it's ironic because I came from a Protestant background. We didn't have apostolic succession. We didn't have legitimate authority, but yet people were very, very easily claimed what wasn't theirs. And then I come to the Catholic Church where there's legitimate authority, and the people who have it refuse to use it.
Well, that's very true sometimes. I think it's true even with parents, you know. Parents also have legitimate authority. They don't want to use it. And a lot of it comes from what I call misguided compassion. Misguided compassion. We are so afraid to hurt somebody. That's one of the reasons I think we have fallen so deeply. For example, somebody wrote to me the other day and said, I don't believe there is such a sin as fornication. I was going to write her a letter and say, is your head in the sand or where is it? Fornication, Lord save it. See, if we don't understand that this is a sin, then we will go into that sin because we don't understand or we don't want to understand. See, we don't take the responsibility of believing in true authority. We believe everything today. You know, when we first started this network, 1982 or 83, Cardinal Odie came here to bless the big dish, the transmit dish. And he said to me, you know, he said, the news is the gospel today. To many, the news is the gospel. You will believe anything written in a newspaper, written in a magazine, or said on TV. Now just examine yourself. It can be the craziest thing you ever heard. By golly, you'll believe it. And something in here said, that's nuts. Oh, but it's on TV. And you know it's wrong. Somebody somewhere is not using their authority correctly. See? And they think you're gullible enough to believe it. And you are. Yeah. The movies, for example. I bet if St. John the Apostle were here, he would pass the movie across the street. You know, they used to take the bats. Everybody took the bat in the same place, see? And St. John heard there was a heretic in there. He wouldn't go in. He said, I'm afraid the roof is going to fall on me. We don't use, parents don't use authority rightly. Teachers don't sometimes. All under the guise of false compassion. Someone asked me the other day, and I tried to answer with great compassion. Why is homosexuality a sin? Who said so? He says, well, God said so. Where? The church has no right to judge. Listen to what that says. The church has no right to judge. The church is giving you the word of God. We're not judging. The church has a right to judge, though. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. Ooh. And so the church has to know what is the will of God concerning this thing. The will of God is, it is a grave sin. It was the Lord who gave us the realization that there is a sin that is not forgiven, the sin against the Holy Spirit. That's final impenitence. You're not sorry for your sins. And you don't want to be sorry, and you don't ask forgiveness. Are you saying God has a right, no right to judge? See, God has a right. And one thing I noticed in these last, 10 years, what we say often, that God does not have a right over us. Oh, he does. And if we take those rights into ourselves, you see, under the guise of what? Compassion. Abortion. Most abortions are under the guise of compassion. On who? On who? You're killing a baby. You're tearing him to pieces. You're talking about compassion? On who? The mother has to suffer. I got a book that thick on all the women who died having an abortion. Not once is it ever recorded or put in a newspaper. Not once. Partial birth abortion is to kill a baby in the act of being born. And they fight for it. What are you doing? You see, we're all mixed up today. That's why I'm saying, please, know yourself and know the truth. See? And use it wisely. We have another call. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, where are you from?
Pittsburgh, PA.
And what is your question?
Mother, I'm talking, what you were talking about, selfishness. Mm. Is it a sin? I feel I pray every morning for 2 hours. That's my meditation while my husband's sleeping, because we're up in age. And it seems that my prayers aren't being answered, yet some who are less religious, they seem to have their prayers answered. And I just wondered, maybe I have a sin to even think that way. I can't believe I'm talking to you, Mother, and looking right at you.
I'm looking at you. Well, sweetheart, you're not being selfish. No, God wants you to pray. And your prayer is being answered. It's being answered. God, it is impossible for God not to hear you. He's inside of you. He hears your every word. He knows every word before you speak it. He knows every thought before you think it. He knows every hair on your head. And he loves every part of you. He loves you. And he knows. And I don't know what you're praying for, but if you're praying for 2 hours, your husband is a sound sleeper. And maybe that's an answer to your prayer. But whatever you're praying for, sweetheart, you keep on praying. See, sometimes we pray for other people, but their will is in the way. Yeah. God's working on them. God has inspired you to pray for your husband. Do you think he's going to let him die and not go to heaven? He's not going straight to heaven. But I'm sure if you're praying all this time, you'll be saved. Or your children, whoever it is, they'll be saved. See, and when you pray for someone, you know you're praying according to God's will. Now, if you pray for a new car, I don't know. Especially if you don't have the money, you can forget it. You know. You can't go and pay for a car with goodwill or God's love either. See, so those kind of things I wouldn't worry about. But your will is not in the way when we pray for something that's good. If you pray for an enemy to break a leg, I don't think God's going to answer that. If you pray for your husband's conversion or someone else's conversion, he's praying for it too. Jesus is our intercessor. Look at St. Monica. How many years she prayed for Augustine. He got worse and worse. Till he heard St. Ambrose. What happened then? All those prayers kind of backed up on him real fast. Why? He wasn't ready. Why wasn't he ready? Huh? He was selfish, immoral. All of you that are having all kinds of moral problems or problems with faith, why don't you read the Confessions of St. Augustine? Wake you up. Wake you up. We can never lose hope. You know, I'll tell you a little incident happened to me. I prayed for somebody so long. And I saw another person who knew them, and I said, how is he? And she said, oh, he died 2 years ago. I said, he died 2 years ago? I said, I've been praying for him all this time. She said, well, that was a lost prayer. I said, no. Mm-mm. When that man died, the Lord saw me praying for him for 2 years. And all that prayer, 2 years ahead, helped to save his soul. See, you can't think like a human being when you deal with God. You keep praying. I guarantee your prayer will be answered. Why? Because he wants that prayer answered as much as you do. Jesus is our intercessor with the Father. And our dear Lady, she is our great intercessor. She's mediatrix, advocate, co-redemptrix. I'm going to say all the words that make a lot of people mad. Mad or not, that's what she is. So you keep on praying, and we'll pray with you. We have another call. Hello?
Mother Angelica, good
evening.
Yeah,
where are you
from? My name is Mary. I'm calling from Miami, and I want to let you know I love your show. I watch you every Tuesday and Wednesday.
Thank
you. I'd like to say hi to my little son, Ryan, who's watching. He's 3 years old.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
Well, hi.
I have a wonderful testimony to tell you, and I'll make it very brief.
Okay.
I was living in sin for 6 years. I was living with Ryan's father, and I wasn't married to him through the Catholic Church. Actually, I wasn't married to him at all. I was just living with him. And he left me about a year and a half ago. And a neighbor of mine, who I didn't even know, asked me to attend a seminar of Life in the Spirit. And it's going to be a year now, July of 97, that I went to that seminar, and I truly believe that I received the Holy Spirit, and my life has been transformed. I have been celibate ever since. I go to church every Sunday. I read the Bible. I'm going to an evangelizing school here in Miami through the Archdiocese. And I give, you know, the 10% as we're supposed to. And, well, my life has just been transformed. 10% of my salary, you know, I give that. And my life
Do you go to confession and communion?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Okay.
But luckily, I don't have that many sins to confess anymore. Anyways, I feel so good.
Very good.
Mother Angelica, I feel so good, and because I really believe that He has forgiven me for all my sins and all my years of, you know, of being in sin and everything. And I feel so, I feel that I'm really healing so much that now I want to, I've been praying a lot. The lady that was just asking you the question about prayer, it's basically what I've been asking. Now that I feel that I'm in His, you know, I'm following His footsteps, and I don't care what the world thinks of me, I want to just be good enough for God and do what's godly, I've been asking a lot for Him to send me someone so I can receive the sacrament of matrimony and get married through the Catholic Church. Do you think it's wrong to continue to pray for that?
No, I don't think it's wrong. If you want to get married, I think it's better you pray. Yeah, I think you need to pray because, well, temptations are always there. You know that. But I think you're doing well. And I'm so happy that you said how good you feel because you've gone to confession. Keep going to confession, though. You know, go to confession the same way you take a bath. You know, you take a bath every night or once a week or whatever. But please. You have to go to confession. Why? What does confession do? You say we don't have as much to say, thank God. But you see, confession is a healing sacrament also. And not only does it wipe away sin, you say, well, it's only venial sin. What are we talking about, only? If I offend God, I offend God. What happens in mortal sin is I kill myself, you see. I shove God out of my heart and mind. So, but you need to pray. You know, I wouldn't pray with too much anxiety. I would ask our dear Lord to send you someone that you can marry and love and be married in the church. I think it's okay. But in the meantime, be at peace. You found the Holy One. You found Jesus. And That's a very fulfilling experience to know, and confession is awesome. Huh? But we'll pray with you. We have another call. Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Where are you from?
Louisiana.
And what is your question?
Are Madonna's videos considered fornication?
What?
Madonna's videos.
Madonna's what?
Videos.
Madonna's videos?
Yeah, are they considered fornication?
What did she say? Are you asking if they're good or bad?
Yeah.
I think they stink. Is that the right answer? I think. You know, that, now that you brought it up, that amazes me. That evil attracts young people so much. Really, I mean, all of you elderly people that have really not much to do, but have, this is the most precious time of your life. Why? Because you can pray. You have time to pray. I would pray for the young today because so many of them, not all, but many of them just are lost in a maze of evil and they don't know it. See, St. Paul said that light and darkness have nothing in common. Nothing in common. And you know, there's something in here that tells you when something is very, very wrong. When I was in the hospital a couple of months ago, right after my birthday, these televisions in hospitals are terrible. EWTN was on channel 44. Well, there's no way to get there except one channel, two, three, four, five. And as I passed by, I saw this man who was obviously singing. I think he was singing. I'm not sure what he was doing. But his face was grotesque. Grotesque. And his actions, his face, the music was absolutely demonic. It was demonic. And you see all these teenagers going crazy. It's so serious. You got to pray today. All of you pray. Pray for our youth. Pray for women on the verge of abortion. Pray for the country. We have no concept of justice anymore. See, this just isn't any concept of justice. And we're all in that same boat. You know what's amazing to me? We don't see signs anymore. Our dear Lord is so busy giving us signs. Wake up. Change. Pray. There was a flood somewhere, I forget where it was, that hadn't been a flood in that place since time began. Oh, somebody came up with a real finding, a scientific find. They found that in the year 2000 BC, the same flood occurred. Who cares? Can you prove it? No, you can't prove it. But you were the sad thing, everybody believed it. So what happened to that sign? You got to have your eyes open and your heart with the Lord to see a sign. And believe me, the Lord has given us signs all over the world. All over the world. So pray. Be loving. Know yourself. Be charitable. And just. Seek the truth. And the truth will come and live within you. You'll never be disappointed, and you'll never be deceived. However, with all that said, I have exactly 2 minutes to do what I must do. Guess what? It's something that's called greenbacks. Money, it's a good name for it. Funds. Tithing, that's a very good name. Moolah. Whatever you call it, I need it. Why? Well, because we have a few little steps to make. Africa, China. I know what you just said. Let the Africans and Chinese take care of themselves. Oh, no. They are my brother and yours. You and I are obliged by our faith to take care. So please be generous. Some of you that haven't given, I won't say, may you not sleep a week. I've thought of it. And apparently in one man, it worked. He really couldn't sleep a week. And he sent in a big donation, and I said, Lord, give him rest, but not eternal. But not eternal rest. He's not ready. Anyway, I love you. And God loves you so much, and I hope you understand that. Please be generous. Things in the summertime are very low. And we usually squeeze in and squeeze out, but still, it's very difficult. So I would ask you to be generous, especially those who have never given. How can you sleep at night when you've never given, but you have received? Well, I'll see you tomorrow night. Remember, most of all, God loves you.